This is Sola Veritas. Theology without fluff. Doctrine without the filter. No hot takes, TikTok theology, or five steps to a better you. That's not this. Welcome to the deep end of the pool. Historic, biblical, and bold. This is not your grandma's podcast. Only truth. Warning. Podcast contents may cause spiritual growth and minor offense.
Welcome back to the Sola Veritas podcast. My name is Justin, one of your hosts, along with my friend Nathan.
Welcome.
And Matt.
What's up, guys?
And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by aneurysms.
I'm bringing all the heresies.
This is going to be the episode that kills Justin, so
let's get into
it's going to be really difficult. It's been nice having you for the first eight episodes, but you know, this is the one that kills him.
All right.
Because today we're going to talk about the Trinity, and we're going to get into specifically, we're going to do this again in two parts because Trinity is a difficult concept to understand. It's a difficult part of theology to really wrap your head around, so we want to give it its just deserves.
So if you're confused,
I'm here to confuse you more.
That's right.
Welcome to the game.
We're going
to
talk about all the things. So for this episode, we just want to walk through, we want to talk about what the Trinity is, we're going to define it, kind of walk through some of the very common misunderstandings, some of the different things that need to be addressed just to get a real clear understanding of Trinity. And then next week we'll sit down and we'll talk about why it's important and why we need to understand this as a theological construct for our faith.
As you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and pull up the Athanasian Creed because I know we're going to need it in this episode.
Hey, nice. If you listened to previous episodes, you would know that we can trust the creeds.
All right.
Shameless plug.
All right.
Let's jump into it.
So let's jump into it, and as we do every week, let's just do it. Define the Trinity for the people.
All right. So definition of the Trinity is we worship one God in three persons and three persons in one. So what do we mean by that? We believe that God in nature is one, a single divine essence. Okay. All right. From that single divine essence, we have three persons.
Excuse me.
We have
first cough.
We have the person of the Father, who is fully God.
Okay.
All right. But he is not the Son. Okay. The Son is fully God. S O N. The Son is fully God, but is not the Father. The Son, likewise, is also not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is fully God. And so all three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, are co-equally God, and yet no person is the other individual. So the Father is neither the Son nor the Spirit, the Son is neither the Father nor the Spirit, and the Spirit is neither the Father nor the Son. Welcome to the Trinity.
There you go.
Good.
That is as clear as it could possibly be.
Clear as
And you've just
mud.
Created 100 questions. So on the question point, we're going to take what you said because while the three of us may understand that and may be able to process what you just said, there are definitely people that cannot, and there are ways that the easy thing to do is we want to try to explain it, right? Instead of just giving those terms and making that the definition, we want to try to explain it. So here's the part where Justin's head is going to explode.
Because if you were an Irish peasant watching a certain video, you would say, "Why don't you give us an illustration there, Patrick?"
That's right. So we're going to throw it to Nathan, and Nathan is just going to rapid fire some of the greatest examples of how people try to explain the Trinity.
These are amazing examples, and you will be so much more enriched in your knowledge after these. Okay, so you ready, Justin?
No.
We'll start with the biggest one, I would say.
Here we go.
H2O, water, ice, and steam.
No.
No? Why?
Just
partialism, modalism.
Let's give some definitions.
We're going to jump in yet. Tell us what modalism and partialism are.
Yeah.
Before we jump in.
So partialism is the idea that it's three different parts of the divine. So the Father makes up about a third of the divine, the Son makes up a third of the divine, and the Spirit makes up a third of the divine, and then co-equally they make up all three parts of the divine God. That would mean that only the Father is a third of God, the Son is only a third of God, and the Holy Spirit is a third of God. That's partialism. It's a heresy that was denounced in the early church. The reason why that's bad is because of what Paul writes to the Colossians, that the fullness of God dwells within him, Christ, bodily. And so we cannot confess partialism. Modalism is the idea that God has three different modes. At certain parts in human history or throughout redemption history, God portrayed himself as the Father, or the mode of the Father. In the incarnation of the Son, he was the mode of the Son, and now he's demonstrating himself through us to the mode of through the mode of the Spirit. So that's modalism, briefly and roughly curtailed. So partialism and modalism are both heresies condemned by the church. Okay, so these illustrations largely fall into one of those two categories, unless it's Sabellianism, which we'll get into later.
Genuinely used, and then the other half I just came up with because they're really funny.
Okay,
so
let's get the first one.
H2O1, water, ice, and steam.
Yeah, that would be modalism.
Okay, a three-leaf clover, one stem, three leaves.
Partialism.
Okay, eggs, the shell, the yolk, and the whites.
Say that again.
The eggs, an egg, the shell, the yolk, and the white.
Partialism. Revisit. Okay.
And here, hold on. I know we're doing a rapid fire, but I want to make sure that everybody catches this because it's partialism because those are three different parts of the same thing, but it's not
the entirety of the thing.
You can remove the white from the yolk. You can remove both of those from the shell, like all of those things.
Exactly.
That's why it's partialism.
And the shell of an egg is not the fullness of the egg.
Right.
The yolk of the egg is not the fullness of the egg. The egg whites is not the fullness of the egg. But we would confess, rightly, according to the Athanasian Creed, that the Father is fully God. The Son is fully God. And so the Spirit is fully God. So we can't confess partialism.
Okay.
All right, next one.
Ready? An atom, proton, neutron, electron.
Partialism.
The Sun, S-U-N, light, heat, and energy.
That would be modalism.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 3D, like the dimension, length, width, and depth.
Oh, wow, that is a good one. Hold on. Modalism. Revisited.
Okay, a triangle. There's three points but one triangle.
That'd be partialism because no individual angle of the triangle can be the triangle in and of itself.
Just okay. Waiting for his head to explode.
A man can be a father, son, and an uncle at the same time, but he's still just
really,
one man.
Really bad modalism.
Okay, math. 0 times 0 times 0 is still equal to 0. It's 3 zeros, but 1 0.
Just plug that into your calculator. You'll get the error.
Okay, I love this one. An endocrinologist.
A what?
Endocrinologist.
What's it? I don't even know what that
is. An ear, nose, and throat doctor. 3 specialties, 1 doctor.
Fantastic. No. Modalism.
Neapolitan ice cream. Strawberry. Strawberry, chocolate, vanilla.
Partialism.
Okay, and then people, mind, body, soul.
Partialism.
Okay, that's all I had.
Yeah, so, and you can make an argument for some of those to be modalism too. That's rapid fire. But like what Matt was saying, the reason why these are bad is because they can't describe the fullness of the thing. When we try to describe the uncreated God who is expressed in Scripture in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, according to the Athanasian Creed, when we try to give a earthly or a creationist example or creation example for the uncreated God, you're always going to fall short in some way, right? And so that's why I will simply say, how do we explain the Trinity? Well, you need to go to Scripture, but two, look at the Athanasian Creed. The Athanasian Creed is going to give us the clearest theological picture from some of the most brilliant minds of history in the early church that wrote down for us what we do believe about the Trinity. When we try to give human examples, we're always going to stumble into a heresy, if even by mistake. And that's why when pastors or when preachers or even TikTok people get in front of people and try to give a human example, you could just basically say, okay, you're going to be wrong in some way.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean like, okay, they're heretics, but it does mean that we need to be very, very precise when it comes to our doctrine of the Trinity.
So then I get to hold on to the seminarian one because I'm the seminarian.
Uh-huh.
So the other one, I mean, we address all of those, and those are definitely, those are legitimate ways that people try to explain
Absolutely, all the time.
So then the seminarian version would be, what do we do with Sabellianism? What do we do with that idea? And go ahead, I'll let you define it for the people and then answer it.
Yeah, so Sabellianism is basically, you could think of modalism light. And the people that primarily confess this right now, and genuinely confess this, so we would actually label these individuals as heretics, are what we would call oneness Pentecostals, or that's basically a wing of the Assemblies of God that broke off, and they confess that there is no true Trinity. What they confess is that they see that Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and he is demonstrating himself to us in those ways. And the proof that they have of that is when we get to heaven, we won't see a Father on the throne, we won't see a Spirit on the throne, we'll only see the Son. The problem of that is it is directly contradictory to Scripture. They deny that there are separate persons, but that Jesus is fulfilling those roles and or what they would say, titles. So the Father is a title for Christ, the Son is a title for Christ, and the Spirit is a title for Christ. Those simply can't be titles, because especially in the book of John, we'll see multiple times Jesus referring to the Father as another person, co-equal that he's with. But when we begin to basically, not basically, but outright deny or reject Jesus' words, or try to say, well, that's not really what Jesus is trying to say, you're contending with Scripture that you just don't have the authority to fight with. You are doing what Peter says the enemies of Paul do. They grab a hold of the text of Scripture and they twist it. So, because they misunderstand it.
So then what do we do with the person who would say, even according to Scripture, Jesus submits to the Father?
Yeah.
And even according to, like, when you define this at the beginning and we look at it, we say, you know, when you go through classes and you study the Trinity, mm-hmm. it'll say the Son is begotten of the Father, mm-hmm. and the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that saying, I'm just trying to get us as crystal sure. clear as we can.
Yeah.
Isn't that saying that they are three separate
sure.
beings?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they are three separate persons, right? They're all co-equally God, but they are three separate persons. And this is why human examples will fall short, and this is why it is difficult to define the Trinity. A great resource for everybody, and I brought it into the podcast today, a great resource for everybody is Simply Trinity, The Unmanipulated Father, Son, and Spirit by Dr. Matthew Barrett. Great resource for everybody to go check out. He is a professor at Midwestern Seminary, has done a lot of work on the Trinity. Go and grab his book. It's very readable, even for the common person.
Yeah.
When I mean common person, I mean like, hey, you're just going to church, you're trying to figure out this Trinity thing. When we try to look at when we look at the Scriptures and we see the Father, or the Son submitting to the Father, or the Spirit proceeding from the Father, what we see are their actions, right? They have definable actions that they perform, that they do, right? But they're doing those together in conjunction with one another. So, like, and this is a big term, but inseparable actions. So salvation is an inseparable action that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all have a particular role that they play, but they all play in the role of salvation. And so this is where it is difficult, and we have to have proper definitions. Without proper definitions, we're going to fall into heresies. And so when we see different roles from each member of the Trinity, we shouldn't jump to the conclusion of, well, they're three entirely separate beings. What we should see is God in Trinity moving toward us in power and love, and seeing that as the overarching theme of Scripture, is that God in Trinity is moving toward us in power.
Okay. So you bring that up. So then I'm going to be the guy in the comment section.
But the Bible.
But and that, but that's, not there. That's the question. Yeah. Is if this is such a central theme and mm-hmm. such a central part of our faith that we need to know and understand, why is it not explicitly in the Bible? And what do you say to the guy that, that's in the comment section and says, well, that's just a man-made construct?
Yeah. So I would say firstly, that the Trinity is theologically and doctrinally discerned. It is not the word Trinity. It's not in the Bible.
Okay.
And that is not an issue, right? The word roller coaster isn't either, but roller coasters exist. Now that's a straw man, right? I'm just propping him up for an easy hit. But we do see all three persons demonstrated throughout Scripture. We see it very clearly in Ephesians 1. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus say that he must go to the Father and that it's good for him to go away for a time. Otherwise, the Helper, the Spirit, will not come to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the clear example is Jesus' baptism.
Yeah. Right?
That's the one that's the easiest one to go to.
It's the easiest one, right? The Father speaks from heaven. The Spirit descends upon Jesus. Like, John the Baptist sees this.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I think, too, like, Paul's common use of how he distinguishes them. He says, Father, like God, and then Lord Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit.
So exactly.
He separates them, like, in a lot of his introductions.
As persons. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, to the person that is saying in the comment section, and I see you.
we see everything.
to the person who's going to say, well, the Trinity is a man-made concept, or it's not in the Scriptures, you're just not reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to be very honest with you. You're ignoring the plain reading of the Scriptures. You have, unfortunately, you've allowed false doctrine to creep into your mind.
Yeah.
My prayer would be, one, go and read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Go and read Ephesians 1 and 2. Go and read all of the book of John, where all three persons of the Trinity, I mean, all three persons of the Trinity are throughout the New and the Old Testament. But those are very, very clear places where we see all three persons at work.
Right. Well, I mean, like you brought up Genesis. That's one that people don't often look at. They neglect to see the Son in that moment because you see in the beginning God, mm-hmm. and then you see the Spirit hovering over the face of the deep.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, well, where's Jesus? And then you read forward into the New Testament. It says he was there at the creation of the universe.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, this will even break this. The doctrine of the Trinity is so foundational to the Christian. It breaks us away from Mormonism. It breaks us away from Jehovah's Witness. Well, it breaks them away from us. The doctrine of the Trinity is what's orthodox. Jehovah's Witnesses have actually gone so far in order to attack the Trinity that they have actually changed the wording of John 1:1. Mm. Rather than in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, they will add in the word A. To say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God.
Yeah.
The problem with that Sneaky is that the entirety kids. Of the article seems so insignificant. It seems so, but it is doctrinally changing. If Jesus is a lesser God, we have an entirely new, different New Testament.
Yeah.
All right, now we're in a secret knowledge.
Yeah, we're in the secret knowledge and all that. And so the doctrine of the Trinity matters. If you do not, and I'll say this on the podcast for everyone very clearly to hear, if you do not confess the Trinity, you are not a Christian.
Yeah. Mic drop if these could fall.
So let's go. So let's do two more for this half of the episode. So how does... You've danced around a little bit here, you know, but when we look at the gospel, that is in the Word of God.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
When we look at the gospel, how does the doctrine of the Trinity guard the gospel? How are those two wrapped together?
Well, it is how God glorifies himself. And so all three persons of the Trinity are at work within the gospel, right? So the Father sent the Son, right? John 3:16, God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten, unmade Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The question is, how is that applied to us, right? We see that it is the Spirit who applies the work of salvation to us. And so very clearly in Ephesians 1, we see the Father planned out the work of salvation in the gospel, that the Son accomplished the work of salvation, and the Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance and the applier of our salvation. And so all three persons of the Trinity and the inseparable action of achieving salvation on behalf of the sinner, the gospel is so amazing because all three, the fullness of God moved toward the unrepentant, undesirable sinner in love. Like, you want to know that, you want to know how God loves you?
Yeah.
All three persons, it wasn't just Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus wasn't like, okay, Father,
guys,
I'm going to
hear me out.
I'm going to go save them, right? And the Spirit was like, yeah, sure, why not? And the Father was like, eh, whatever. Like, no. All three persons of the Trinity in eternity past agreed that how to accomplish salvation, like, because they're all co-equally God. But if, like, if they're sitting in the, you know, in a conference room, whatever, they agreed, like, this is the plan. This is how we're going to redeem humanity. And all three persons co-equally moved toward us.
Mm-hmm.
The Father wasn't half-hearted. The Son wasn't half-hearted. The Spirit wasn't half-hearted. They're all full-hearted toward the sinner in the gospel.
Yeah.
And because it's the Trinity that accomplishes salvation for the Christian, that means we can't lose it either. It is forever sealed for us. Like, the Trinity is so foundational to the gospel.
I feel like that just, and I know you like emphasized it, but I think like sitting in that is so big in like how confident we can be in it.
Yeah.
Like, we are sealed by the Spirit, like, and the Son has done all these works as promised to him by the Father. Like,
exactly.
We are given so much from a Trinitarian God beyond, like, what, I don't know. I just think that's,
it makes you feel small.
Treading lightly because I don't want to
step into
anything.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just thinking of how, like, grand that design had to be.
It's almost like looking at the night sky when on a really, really clear night, when it's really, really dark out, and you feel really small.
Yeah.
When you think about the gospel in terms of the Trinity accomplishing it on our behalf, man, that makes me feel small. But it makes me feel so loved. Like, it's both. It's amazing.
So, to wrap this half of Trinity out, and understand, we started with some definitions and then some laughter about all the different ways people try to explain it. But let's talk to for a little bit why that matters. Why does it matter if somebody gets the Trinity just a little bit?
Just a little wrong.
Why does it matter if they get a little bit of modalism or a little bit of partialism? Like, isn't it enough that they confess faith and confess, hey, you know, I believe in the Trinity.
Yeah.
This is just how I explain it.
Sure.
Like, why is that such a big deal?
Yeah, so
I'm using my hands a lot this episode. Don't know what to do with my hands.
Chandler,
I don't know what to do
best.
With my hands.
Let me say firstly, for those who are listening, like, man, I'm really struggling. I'm like, man, how do I even explain this then? One, I would encourage you, just go look up the Athanasian Creed.
Yeah.
Okay. And let that sit in your mind for a little bit. But, okay, why does this really matter? Firstly, I would say also, in your explanation of the Trinity, you're not going to lose your salvation because you explained it wrong. So, you know, take that weight off of your shoulders for a minute. However, you are charged with growing in your knowledge and understanding of who God is in his fullness. What will happen when you begin to, or if you don't understand the Trinity rightly, is you'll get the gospel wrong eventually.
Mm.
Maybe not immediately, right? But you will eventually down the road get it wrong. You will not be able to understand God rightly. You won't understand the movement of all of redemptive history rightly. You'll read the Bible wrongly.
Mm.
And so there's so many ramifications, just a cascading effect that, you know, the brand new Christian right now, if you are like, man, this is a brand new concept, my encouragement would be settle in your mind that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, all co-equally God. And then allow the scriptures to give further definition to that.
And as we always say on this podcast, go talk to your pastor.
Yes.
And if your pastor looks at you and says, well, look at this egg, then run.
He gives you my examples.
He says, I have a three-leaf clover on my wall for just this explanation.
I saw an endocrinologist the other day.
No.
I'm a son, a father, and a husband all at the same time.
and this also, you know, getting the Trinity right doesn't mean you also run around with a Trinity hammer saying, like, all right, that's wrong. Keep these things in the back of your mind so that when you hear these things from popular pastors too,
yeah,
when you hear these things, you know, okay, some people are genuinely trying to be helpful and faithful.
I sent you one the other day because I knew this episode was coming up. I sent one from I'm not going to name his name because I don't want to call him out, but from a guy that I respect a lot.
Very
like,
well
I have several
guy.
Of his books yes. on my shelf. And I respect him a lot. And he said, it's like the government. And I went, no, it's not.
No. and so a lot of these guys are simply trying to be faithful. What we should simply do is go to the words of the Athanasian Creed. And let me just read just a portion of it as we close out the episode. At the very beginning, it says, we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither blending the persons nor dividing their essence. For the person of the Father is a distinct person, but the person of the Son is another, and that of the Holy Spirit is still another. But the divinity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal.
That's good.
All right, y'all. That was the Trinity Part 1. Get ready for next week, because we're going to tell you why this is even important.
That's right.
All right, guys. Man, I just got lost in what I was going to say for the outro. We're done for this episode.
On behalf of the whole Soul Bear Tusk crew, we'll see you next
right
week.
One day, guys.
Thanks for diving into the deep end. If this helped you think, wrestle, or grow, share it. Subscribe, leave a review, and send it to someone who's ready for more than just surface-level faith. Warning: podcast contents may cause spiritual growth and minor offense.